Feeling stuck in your current job? Looking for a career pivot? Are you a proven leader looking to step up? The University of Maryland's Robert H. Smith School of Business prepares students to meet challenges, solve problems, and obtain a profound understanding of how to operate in the modern economy. With MBA and MS programs offering flexible options to fit your lifestyle and goals. GMAT and GRE not required. Learn more today at go.umd.edu/smithschool. University of Maryland Smith School of Business. Inspired, fearless, unstoppable.
He's always mistakenly British.
Tea and crumpets.
Cheerio.
But he's really a Canuck. Known on all seven continents.
Oh, I know who you are.
America's undocumented anchorman. He's a recording star and a TV star. Tuesdays, James Golden, a.k.a. Bo's Nerdly, presents Mark Stein.
The legend, Mark Stein. Yes, who floats his own balloons out there from time to time, and they never get shot down.
No, that's my preferred mode of travel. You don't need the vaccine passports if you just glide across international frontiers in your beautiful weather, not surveillance, not EMP, nuclear attack, just your weather balloon. I must say on this, what is it today? Valentine's Day?
Valentine's Day, yes.
No, Valentine's Day. I am
Valentine.
Yeah, Valentine's Day, and I loved listening to you talking over that perfume ad saxophone you had because that's basically all. What were you talking about there? I can't remember whether it was the debt ceiling or whatever, but it's amazing how romantic. So if you're planning a candlelit dinner for two and you just put the perfume ad saxophone music on, you can talk about the debt ceiling and the chicks will dig it just because of that perfume ad sax.
Well, I've got some more perfume sex add a saxophone from the very best. A few days ago, I had a listener call and wanted to know how come we didn't play any of the crooners. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, I'm going to play one, but I'm going to play Johnny Hartman and John Coltrane.
Yeah. Oh,
so
yeah.
Later in the program, I'm going to do that. Mm. Now, Mark, how come the Canadian, answer me this, please. Riddle me this, Mark.
Okay.
Okay?
Right?
There's a white nationalist balloon floating over Canada,
right.
your homeland, right?
Yeah.
And the Canadian Air Force doesn't scramble. The Canadian military doesn't go into full DEFCON 6. They ask Joe Biden, hey, Joe, can you shoot that thing down for us? Or Joe volunteers to shoot it down? I don't know what happens. How does it a Chinese balloon flying over Canada end up being shot down by Americans? And what does that say for the poor people over in Moldova? I mean, they have a balloon over there in Moldova. And are they going to call the Canadians to shoot it down? What's going to happen here?
Well, you make a good point. In fairness, there's this thing called NORAD, which is Mutual North American Air Defense between the United States Air Force and the Royal Canadian Air Force, which has certainly been at important times in world history a significant air force. And I would love it if they'd said, oh, sorry, we can't shoot down the sinister balloon over the Yukon because we've had to go to Moldova to shoot the balloon over Moldova. What we need, I think this shows how we actually need a world balloon, you know, like the World Health Organization.
Right.
She did such a great job with all the COVID and all that. I think we need a world balloon organization because clearly, you know, the war on terror hasn't worked out. It turned into a disaster ending with the fall of Kabul. So a war on balloons might actually be something that we could actually accomplish. So I'm all in favor. I bet you at some point, because these balloons are turning up everywhere, not just in obvious places like the Yukon, but in Moldova, which is, you know, I like Moldova, don't get me wrong. I always think of it as Bessarabia, and in fact, it was my planned escape route when I was in Ukraine. Getting out via Moldova was my planned escape route because I thought it was more likely. But I don't, you know, so you got the Yukon balloons, you got Moldova balloons. I mean, this thing is going global very fast. Panic, run, head for the hill. Oh, no, the balloons can get you in the hills. Head somewhere where there are no places balloons can go. Oh, wait, no, that's everywhere. So I think the war on balloons needs to be the next big thing.
Well, if you can't take a balloon, take a train. I mean, what could possibly go wrong in a train? Mm. Old school technology.
Mm. Mm.
Just don't go through Ohio. And don't go through Palestine, Ohio in particular.
No, do you know this thing, just before this happened in Ohio, which is, I happened to see, they've got, don't know whether it's strikes or whatever it is over in London. And I happened, so the trains aren't operating. And I happened to see a bus that said, "Choo choo, I'm your morning train," painted on the side. And I thought, this is pathetic. You know, we're at a time when basic societal services don't, like trains, don't work, and we think it's cute and funny. No, it might have been cute and funny the first time, but it's not now. I mean, this is the world we're in. Basic services don't work. This was a train accident in Ohio. Nobody seems to know why it is. The Secretary of Transportation is busy talking instead about how there are too many white construction workers. I don't know what race the people running this train were. I don't know what race the people running the cleanup operation after the train crash were, the guys who are responsible for this toxic cloud over Ohio. But it's interesting to me when you have something like the school shooting in Uvalde and they have the press conference and there's 187 different federal, state, county, and municipal agencies all crowding around the microphone, desperate to have their 10 minutes in the spotlight. No agencies of any kind seem to have been able to accomplish anything remotely safe or efficient after this Ohio crash. And again, just to go back to that bus side, basic services now do not work. I used to have a line, "Oh, the planes will soon be dropping out of the sky." And the planes are not yet dropping out of the sky, but the trains are derailing and going toxic in Ohio. We have a problem here.
Vinyl chlorine, diethylene glycol, polypropylene glycol, propylene glycol, polyethylene, and let's see, polyvinyl and petroleum stuff up in smoke. And for a while, the government's first reaction was, don't worry about it, everything is safe.
Yeah.
Well, apparently some people that tried to get back in their homes had to evacuate again because they started having symptoms in their homes. And no one will tell people exactly how serious this is, what the long-term, what happens when all these chemicals mix together and go up in smoke. Does it affect the water table in the area? I mean, there's a lot of information that we still don't know about this, and it wasn't even covered heavily in the beginning. It was almost as if this thing happened and there was a media blackout. In fact, my engineer Scott sent me a story today with a video from I think it was Epic Times, about the media blackout that took place when this train derailed. It was just, for most of the mainstream press, it didn't happen.
No, and it's weird because, you know, there's a derailment and then there's the bungled response to the derailment and then there's the media silence about the bungled response to the derailment. And by the way, this is all from a political class and a media that climate change, the environment, we love the environment, we must protect the environment. And they've basically just said, it was just a little rinky-dink train crash, but how about we turn it into Chernobyl? I mean, this is and Buttigieg actually embodies the problem here. He's a man who should not be Secretary of State, Secretary of Transportation, because I saw some tweet the other day that said Buttigieg is doing such a bad job as Secretary of Transportation that for the first time people know the name of the Secretary of Transportation.
Right.
And this idea, the problem with construction workers is too many of them are white.
Yeah, they don't look like the neighborhoods they serve in, whatever the hell that's supposed to mean.
Well, I don't even know. I mean, I take it he would be happy if there were more transgender construction workers. But the trans, we've got, instead, transgenders are all admirals in the U.S. Navy, like Admiral Rachel Levine with her spectacular bosom. So the fact is, when you have the, when you have elite promotion to some of these top jobs in the cabinet, like, isn't he the first gay Secretary of Transportation? So I don't know what being gay has to do with being able to be a Secretary of Transportation any more than what being white has to do with a construction worker. But I mean, when you have when these become your priority, you were talking about checking the boxes with Nikki Haley. When you have Biden boasts about, oh, this is the first transgender Muslima to serve as Secretary of the Interior. You can't, when you promote and you hire on that basis, don't be surprised when the trains start crashing and everything, because you're not looking for, your world has become, nowhere else, not in Russia, not in China, not in Iran, do they think this is a sensible basis on which to hire. Oh, look, you can check the boxes when it's something inconsequential, like who's going to be a president, but when you're checking the boxes on someone who has to do an actual job, like decide whether or not to release all those chemicals into the air over Ohio, you should actually be looking for other qualifications than the sexual orientation or the gender identity.
Now, Republicans, Mark, shifting gears, are, according to Reuters, the Republican hardliners, and that would be right, you would be included in that bunch, even if they included Republican hardliners.
Yeah, hardliners.
Can afford to say no to the U.S. debt ceiling increase. And Reuters finally tells us why. They can afford to say no to raising the debt ceiling increase because mostly small donors fund their campaigns.
Yeah. I love it. You emailed me this story, and I read it. And I love it the way it assumes that, well, you know, these people are holding up the increase in the debt ceiling. The debt is at $31.5 trillion, and that's really not good enough, not if we're going to have the first transgendered Ohio train driver in place. We looked into these people who are holding it up, and what do you know? They're not taking money from big business like normal politicians do. They're dependent on this weird, creepy fringe group of people called, what are they called? American citizens? What the hell is up with that? You know, you let American citizens start determining policy, and there goes your self-governing republic right there. I mean, the way this story is written is bonkers. Do you know, every American, this is why, you know, Globocorp International telling you, don't bother about that debt ceiling. You know, it's $31.5 trillion. What's another $15 trillion on top of that? In reality, it's taxpayers who are on the hook, and the debt is already at $250,000 per taxpayer. And no one in human history has ever paid off $31.5 trillion in debt. I mean, so just that's America has to pay, the federal government has to pay back $31.5 trillion just to get back to being broke, just to get back to having nothing in its pocket. And this idea that the debt's, it's just like, it's a ritual. It's like the State of the Union. You know, the president comes in and he's glad handing everybody. And then he gets to the podium and says, how about we up the debt ceiling to 40 trillion? It should just be automatic. That's what these people want. And in the end, it will tank the dollar and tank the country.
Now, the one last story, and that concerns the Mark Steyn cruise, which I am happily going on in January. I have a suggestion for entertainment.
Oh, yeah.
So it appears, New York Post says, at the Super Bowl. I didn't watch it, sadly. I don't know whether you watched the Super Bowl or not.
No, I can't. You know, I always used to wind up guest hosting for Rush on the Monday after the Super Bowl. And I would just be bluffing my way through. It's like, oh, I love the Super Bowl. I always think it's so moving when they sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game in the seventh inning stretch. And people would be like, what? He's faking it. And so... I am entirely ignorant of all aspects of the Super Bowl.
Well, the halftime show featured the stellar performance from Rihanna. I heard Rihanna yesterday on the show. They played some Rihanna for me yesterday. And, well, never mind. Anyway, Rihanna apparently is just a superb... She's just an amazing entertainer. During the performance, she grabbed her... She's pregnant. She grabbed her crotch. Mm-hmm. And then put her fingers up to her nose to smell it. Mm-hmm. And people think that, wow, this is just, this is the, so, Mark, you've got a cruise coming up. You're going to need some entertainment on this cruise.
I am not going to put my hand on your crotch and then I'm not going. Now, we all know this is like hallowed show business. You were talking about Johnny Hartman and John Coltrane a couple of minutes ago. They were renowned for putting their hands on their crotch.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, that's the, you know, John Coltrane could play the crotch like nobody else on earth. It was just spectacular. This is actually what it's come down. You know, when I look back at all the great American music that's been written over the years, my old Kentucky home, you know, the song's okay, but what I really liked was the way Stephen Foster and the Christy Minstrels would all grab their crotch in unison when they performed it. It's just like, it's a part of Americana. Nothing is more American than grabbing your crotch during Over the Rainbow, White Christmas, whatever. There isn't a single song that isn't improved by a crotch grab. You know, you can have some, you have these songs that okay, like Hotel California, it goes on forever. If any song could use like 3 crotch grabs during it, it's like Bohemian. I don't want to see Bohemian Rhapsody without at least half a dozen crotch grabs.
Well, so we will have entertainment on the Mark Stein cruise, and please tell everybody how they may go about joining us on the cruise. And bring your own grabber for your own.
Yeah, and we'll have you'll be on the cruise, and Michelle Buckman will be on the cruise, and you can find out more about it by going to marksteincruise.com or steinonline.com, and that's Stein with a Y, as in, why do I have to listen to this awful guy talking about putting crotch grabs in the middle of White Christmas?
Mark Stein, as always, thank you, my friend. We look forward to chatting up with you next. Mark, I have one other quick thing with you. There is a story, and Mark, we do not have time to do this justice. Mm. So maybe one day we can figure out a way. This story about Microsoft and the conservative media that they were suppressing with this other group. Mm-hmm. Washington Examiner did a story. RushLimbaugh.com was on the list. They're 39.
Yeah.
And that means you. And then there's a bigger list of 1,000, and no doubt you are on it.
Yep. No, this whole idea of disinformation and where fact checkers, these are all rubbish, phony professions. And they've, and actually, since the COVID years, they've actually killed people, suppressing the widest possible discourse on COVID and the vaccines and all the rest of it. We need, not to mention the New York Post and Hunter Biden and everything. Free speech is, the throttling of free speech by these companies is actually killing self-government in the Western world right now.
Mark Stein, we will catch up with you next week, Mark. Thanks so much.